Hey there, everybody. Thanks for listening. Skybook is giving away five $200 free play prizes. Sign up with skybook.ag, deposit $200 or more before February 3rd and mention code NBA1000 for a chance to win one of these prizes. Winners will be announced here on February 8th. Skybook is home of the free half point. Take advantage and move the lines a half point in your favor. Call 1-888-759-2665 and claim promo code NBA1000. That's NBA1000 at Skybook.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is your DFS Army Bold Calls edition for January 23rd, 2019. And I am your host today, Boomer's Daddy. Joining me, as always, the man, the myth, the legend, Guy. What's up, Bear?
So, Keith, how you doing?
Oh, you know, just, as we were talking about before, it's more of the chalky roster construction type of day. But trying to figure out how to kind of pivot. It's going to be a little bit of a, I don't want to say a quest, but it's going to be very interesting on what I decide to do today, especially on FanDuel. So other than that, man, enjoyed a nice win again last night by my boys.
It's a good game.
It was a very good game, as they normally are. Had a nice night, called it bed early, and I've had a pretty good day so far today.
Ooh, bed early.
Yeah, I was in bed 11 o'clock central.
That's really early.
Yeah, that's extremely early for me. So
wish I could do that.
You know, it's one of those things, like, I know I'm getting up early, so I try to, not always, but I do try to get to bed relatively decent amount of time, so I can, you know, not be as grouchy when I wake up.
That's my problem. And usually I'm up late because I'm studying the next day's slate already. That's what keeps me up till late. But, yeah, it makes it tough. But I actually got some decent sleep last night.
Good.
I'm happy about that.
Awesome. So we got 10 games today. And they're going to be there's a couple that I could possibly just X out altogether when I'm talking about my builds. But there are a few pieces that I do like from those games. Overall, though, it's going to be an earlier night for the most part. We do have that Utah-Denver game that starts at my 9:30 my time, 7:30 your time. So
the last game of the slate, right?
Yeah, yeah. But there's not a lot of them going on, and I'm interested to see kind of how ownership is gauged in that late game, because of the fact that it is Utah and Denver in Utah. So, that's what you got us for all day, to break us down, have a ton of fun with it. And it's going to be, very, very interesting, when it comes to, trying to decipher some of these things. So, want to go over a couple injuries real quick that we already know about, and then we'll kind of go from there, or some news, and then we'll kind of go from there. Kawhi Leonard is out. OG and a newbie is out. So this is going to obviously probably propel Van Vliet back into the starting lineup like we've seen for the last couple games. Kyle Lowry, Dellen Wright, and Norman Powell are going to get more run. And then, of course, you got Serge Ibaka and Pascal Siakam that are going to be pretty heavily owned as well, probably. Aaron Gordon is probable. Al Horford is out. Kyrie Irving is out. Ante Zizek is going to start for Tristan Thompson, who is out. Danilo Gallinari is out a couple games. Enes Kanter is going to start tonight against Houston. We're going to make sure that we talk about that. That just came down, what, about 15 minutes ago?
That he's starting?
Yeah.
No, he was. It was like hinted on the other day, so kind of knew that it was coming. But yeah, it's pretty much final now.
Okay. Robin Lopez is going to start tonight for the Bulls. Kevin Huerter is doubtful. Joakim Noah is doubtful. Mark Gasol questionable. We'll talk about that situation. Garrett Temple and Omri Casper are both probable. Some of the bigger news and some of the later games that we're going to have to watch for. Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler are both questionable. Obviously, this is going to affect a lot of the rotation of the 76ers. Davis Bertans is out.
Yeah.
Which means we're going to definitely talk about some of the guys there. Andre Drummond, Henry Ellison are both questionable. Ish Smith is doubtful.
About Drummond, he's actually with the team.
Yes.
He went to shoot around. So it's looking more and more like he's going to play.
Just came down the wire about 10 seconds ago that he did make it through shoot around. And they're going to wait to evaluate him and see how he feels. So looking more like a game time decision type of thing. Hopefully we know before, because that's a game that's going to start after lock, about an hour after lock or so. For the late game, both Gary Harris and Will Barton are on minutes restrictions, right there around 20 minutes. They both will play, though. Juancho Hernan Gomez is questionable. And guess what, buddy? Jared Vanderbilt looks like he's going to make his debut tonight.
That should be interesting.
To what extent? I have no idea.
Yeah, it could very well easily be like 12 minutes or 8 minutes just to kind of...
I'm actually excited for the kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to see Michael Porter. But that's
dude,
that's going to be a ways away.
Oh yes,
it's going to make him a really good team. I mean, their depth is going to be very hard to match here coming up soon.
I don't think it can be. Like if they're all healthy, minus Isaiah Thomas, because we honestly legitimately don't know. But like we talked about with TJ McBride, if they're all healthy and once they get Gary Harris and Will Barton back to full strength. Playing full complement of minutes, man, they're going to be tough. Especially with the way that, you know, Malik Beasley and Monte Morris have kind of grown into their roles.
Yeah.
Now you add into the fact you add Dandy into that, and man, they're going to be really, really, really tough.
And it's going to be tough because, you're not going to have a 12-man rotation. So it's like some of these guys aren't going to play.
Right.
And that's going to be tough to see. And, I mean, you're seeing it now, and it's not going to happen here in Denver because these guys are still pretty young. But a lot of these players that are good players that aren't getting any run, they're like, I want out.
Yeah.
Send me somewhere else. Fareed, classic example. I just read Wayne Ellington wants to be traded because he's not playing enough, getting enough minutes. And he's a pretty good NBA player. I mean, he's not a stud by any stretch, but he's a really good role player. You know, a team like the Hawks or a team like the Thunder. Or a team like the Lakers who needs shooting could use a Wayne Ellington, but a good role player. But I mean, it's going to be, hopefully it doesn't cause, the biggest concern I would have for that team is going to be Isaiah Thomas. Just because he's, you know, MVP candidate, he's an all-star, he's, you know, has a resume, and he's going to want to go out there and, you know, have the ball in his hands and, He's not the main player on that team. So, you know, I'm hoping there's no clashes there, but we'll see how it goes. Still a good pickup for him. Still adds to their depth. Still gives them a punch off the bench, which they needed. But We'll see how it goes.
Yep. I think most of it's going to be for that situation. How do they get him? How do they kind of? And we talked about a lot of this with TJ McBride. How they are going to adapt defensively because he is a defensive liability. So. All right, let's get going here. Point guards. Not going to touch too much on Ben Simmons today. He's 9,900 on FanDuel. It's not that it's not a good situation, because I personally think that it's a very sneaky spot for him, especially when you're talking about point guards and everything that he can do. But he's questionable, so I don't want to waste too much time on him. He's an option if he's in, but it's nothing more than what I would consider probably a lower owned upside tournament play, and only really if Jimmy Butler isn't playing.
Yeah, that's going to be the kicker. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, unknown about that game, right? About Philly right now. So we got to see. But you know, let's for a moment, if Butler sits, I mean, I'm going to pretty much be pairing Embiid and Simmons a lot if he does sit, because they're the team. I mean, they both remain questionable as of right now. So, I mean, we'll have to wait and see the news, obviously. But for me, I think. If we're playing tournaments, I mean, you've got 60-point upside for each guy. I mean, it's hard not to.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know, one of those things that you have to kind of take into account and consideration for. And I personally think that there's enough value that you could play both of them, and probably come pretty close to fitting into James Harden, at least on FanDuel. So,
Yeah.
Let's talk about this point guard pairing in the Charlotte Memphis game. Kemba Walker, Mike Conley. I think they're a sneaky ping pong. I want to get your thoughts on it. And the main reason I think they're sneaky is because I think people are going to look at this total and go, bleh.
Yeah, it is kind of bleh. If that's the word. Here's the thing, like, Memphis has been just really bad. And now you've got, and I was watching earlier after shoot around, both Conley and Gasol were saying that they've been told that they're on the block. So it's not even just like a rumor thing, like it's out in the open. You know, Conley is always a professional. Conley is going to come show up to work. He's going to play. He's going to do all that no matter what. But I don't see how playing any of those guys until the trade deadline passes is going to be a reality for me. Because that stuff really, I mean, it gets into their heads and, you know, it affects the team. It's public. Like, it's public. It's not like it's, oh, yeah, it's just talk. No, it's not just chatter. It's actually happening. They've been told, hey, we're shopping you. So, yeah. I mean, it's a big distraction for me. I don't know. It's not something that I like.
And it's not only that, but, like, this stuff can happen on a whim. You know, and just so everybody knows, the trade deadline is February 7th. That would be a Thursday. I think it's at 4 p.m. Eastern?
It's like right after the Super Bowl.
No, I was talking about the time of the day. So it'll be done in the middle of that day. But, you know, it's that first Thursday in February. The problem is that when you're talking about guys like Mike Conley, guys like Marc Gasol, who are on the block, all it takes is a little bit of movement. And then, like, for this game, they are an hour after main slate lock. A lot can happen in an hour. Like, we could start to get word, like, oh, there's, like, five teams interested, with three teams with serious inquiries, you know, stuff. And the next thing we know, like, We get a news feed on Twitter. Mike Conley has been traded to the Toronto Raptors for Kyle Lowry and a pick to be named later, or whatever, you know.
Boy, that's a bold one.
I was spitting stuff out. I wasn't really thinking that that was part of the case, but like that's a definite possibility. We've seen it happen before, and with these guys that are a large salary, it's hard to take chances on them, especially like when they're in good matchups. I think I'd be more likely to do it with a guy like Mike Conley because he is a professional. You know, I'm not talking about making a major part of the core, but I do really like the ping pong here tonight. Both of these teams have been kind of bad defensively against point guards lately. And, you know, they do enough to where I think they can both pay off their salaries. Now, is it going to be worth it to play both of them? Probably not. You know, I'll have to do a little bit more digging and everything. But from an ownership standpoint, from a, you know, a roster construction standpoint, you know, ping ponging these guys and fading the value that we'll think about. If all this value flops at the point guard position, you could end up being in a very, very, very good position.
Yeah, I don't disagree. So I'm really fond of the Kemba play. You know, we like Kemba at 9K. We don't like Kemba at 10K. There's a couple point guards here that outside of the chalk ones that I'm really fond of, particularly for ownership leverage and just great plays overall. But yeah, I mean, I definitely am on the Kemba train. I'm not as much on the Conley train, but I'm definitely on the Kemba train.
Yep. Let's talk about Chris Dunn. One of the first questions I got this morning was Chris Dunn or Trae Young. And I'm sitting here looking at it like, man, I love my boy, but going up against Chris Dunn mano a mano is very, very difficult.
Dunn's my guy, man.
Yeah, I mean, he was the chalk before all this news started to hit. It was him and Van Vliet that were going to be the chalkier options of the day. Now, his ownership has definitely dropped. And I like the idea of going with a Chris Dunn Terry Rozier or a Chris Dunn Fred Van Vliet to kind of mix it up and go high-low a little bit.
Yeah. I'm like, if I'm not going super chalk point guard with Rozier Van Vliet, it's going to be Kemba and Dunn. I mean, those are my two favorite ones right now. Obviously, we talked about Simmons, and we'll have to wait and get some more news there, but on him and Butler both. But Kemba and Dunn, I like it a lot. I don't know if I can play Trey. I don't hate the Trey Young play because, I mean, I watch a lot of their games here, and, you know, I'm not so worried about Dunn being on him one-on-one. There's so much switching going on with the Hawks right now because they have so many perimeter players that I'm not too worried about it. But, yeah, I think I'm still going to have to play Rozier. So for me, it's probably going to end up being like Rozier and Dunn.
Yep, absolutely. All right, hey, Rozier. No Kyrie Irving tonight. No Al Horford. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that what happened last time with Rozier is probably not going to happen tonight. Where Jaylen Brown went off, where pretty much everybody went off against Brooklyn. And, you know, he just – you got to also add in there that Marcus Smart was out, I think, that game. I think Gordon Hayward was out that game as well. That was just a weird game. Guys, this is one of the, like, I don't want to say it's a commandment, but this is one of the golden rules in NBA DFS right now. If Kyrie is out, you play Terry Rozier. It's just, it's so hard not to pass up. Like, he almost, like, I would be more willing to fade VanVleet because of the fact that Lowry's in and you have guys like Norman Powell, Pascal Siakam. Like, if I'm going to fade one of these two value point guards between VanVleet and Rozier, it's going to be VanVleet. Not that I'm going to be fading him completely, but, you know, if I'm going to go somewhere else at that second point guard spot, it's going to be replacing VanVleet with somebody else instead of replacing Rozier.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm not big on playing VanVleet with Lowry in, particularly for tournaments. Just not how I roll. But at the same time, you know, I'm actually kind of relieved that Rozier kind of dudded last time. Last time Kyrie was out.
Brad Wanamaker took over.
Right. Yes. That's exactly why. So, and not only that, like he also, he being Rozier, wasn't nearly as aggressive and didn't play, I don't think he even played 32 minutes. I think he was like in the 20s.
20, 25.
Yeah, because of Wanamaker. Now, can it happen again? Yeah, absolutely. They're playing the Cavs, so of course it can. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm playing Terry. So if you want to, if you're on FanDuel and you want to have one of them a drop score, you can play them both and then just go super solid the rest of the way. I'm okay with that too.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So with that Brooklyn game, it's a little bit deceiving because I'm pulling up the box score here now. Marcus, like I said, Marcus Smart was out. Where'd it go? There it is. So Marcus Smart was out. You know, you had guys like, or Gordon Hayward wasn't out. I'm sorry. He just shot like crap. So your starting lineup was basically Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Morris, and Al Horford. Aaron Baines was out at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Marcus Smart ended up missing that game. And of course, Kyrie did. But you had Brad Wanamaker and Gordon Hayward eating up the minutes off the bench. Wanamaker only went 4 for 11. But three of those four shots that he made were from 3-point. And then he had, you know, a couple steals, some assists, some rebounds. So overall, it was a pretty good game for him. But Jaylen Brown took 18 shots that game. He was 9 for 18. And this is why we say, guys, if you are going to play Jaylen Brown or Gordon Hayward, you do not play them together. You set a rule in the DS. Do not allow these two together. A little bit later, I'll remake it and put it back in there so you guys know exactly. I know we have some new members that probably are going to want to know exactly how to do that. Because one of these two, like, it's not a guarantee that either one of them is going to go off, but they're definitely both not going to go off. And I believe they end up becoming cheap enough. And small forward is so loaded today. I don't think that you need to play Gordon Hayward at all, to be honest. I just ran 100 lineups, and he's not in one of them. So where Jaylen Brown is in none of them as well. Which is odd, very odd. Anyways, but yeah, I don't think that you need to worry about that. Like, that game was so weird that I don't see that happening. I mean, come on, Marcus Morris against Brooklyn had 12 points, like 12 fantasy points. Al Horford had 15.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Daniel Theis and Brad Wanamaker outscored the two of them. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were the ones that did all the work and went off. And we saw that a ton last year. Now, what you can do is you can add in the fact that if they go off, Terry Rozier is going to probably have a lot more to do with it tonight than he did the other night.
So. Yeah, I think so too. I mean, and really, he's got the rest of the team there. Like you mentioned last time, there were other guys out too. Rozier is much more of a facilitator. Like, he and Kyrie are completely different point guards.
Oh, absolutely.
So whereas Kyrie can really just play 1-on-5, he doesn't care. But Rozier, he can still score, but he needs guys to pass to. To succeed, and they've got their full team outside of Kyrie. So.
Right. So the last two games that Kyrie missed before that Brooklyn game were the Minnesota and the Dallas game, and he played 27 and 32 minutes and had 30 and 43 FanDuel points each one of those games. I expect it to be more like that tonight than it is, you know, what happened in that Brooklyn game.
Yeah.
So anybody else down here at the bottom? I've got a little bit of interest in Elfrid Payton. I keep falling for Spencer Dinwiddie, but the way that D'Angelo Russell's shooting right now, it's kind of hard to really have a lot of faith in it. I keep wanting to buy low.
On Spence?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm actually okay with it. I'll tell you why. Because what happens a lot is, particularly on back-to-backs, and it might be a little bit a little different just because of the hot streak that D'Angelo's on, but typically when they play back-to-back, especially on the road back-to-backs, like when they're traveling in between games or, you know, the night before or the morning of, he tends to give Dinwiddie the close. And so that's he being Kenny Atkinson. So I'm okay with it. I think it's a fantastic tournament play. He's, what is he on FanDuel? He's 5,800. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cheap for a guy that's got 10x upside. I mean, or 9x, whatever. I don't hate it at all. For tournaments, I think it's great.
Yeah. And let's see here. So the only team that plays tomorrow that plays today are the Pelicans. So that kind of maybe lowers my interest in Elfrid Payton tomorrow or today, because they play in Oklahoma City tomorrow night.
Yeah, and frankly, I mean,
see, I had some interest in Payton, but
so did I.
See, now I'm, but like with, okay, so let's talk about this Pelican situation. We got the word yesterday that AD could end up missing close to a month. And Vandal did right by that by moving Julius Randle to the power forward. Now Jahlil Okafor is probably going to get the start with a lot of these games. Your starting lineup's probably going to be something close to around. Well, it was the other night. Okafor, Etuan Moore, Julius Randle, Drew Holiday, and Elfrid Payton. Before I just found out that they play tomorrow night in Oklahoma City, I had a lot of interest in these guys. Now, what they could end up doing is basically going hard tonight and punting these guys tomorrow. You know, because this is a quote unquote more winnable game, maybe. But like Drew Holiday was, and Nikola Mirotic were pushing hard to be like, not Drew because of his price, but Mirotic really was pushing hard to be a core guy.
Yeah.
Elfrid Payton was a nice pivot guy. I don't know if I can do Elfrid now.
Is it because they're playing tomorrow?
Yeah, and he's not. I love the matchup. I love going against Reggie. I love every bit of it. Still do. But now knowing that they play tomorrow, and you add into the factor that, you know, Drew Holiday can run a lot of that point guard. He's not going to be needed to really lock down anybody in the backcourt for the Pistons. I might not like Elf as much now. Am I just talking myself out of a really good play based on one little piece of information that they're playing tomorrow night in Oklahoma City?
I mean, maybe. At the same time, like, I mean, it's reasonable, but at the same time, like, they're at a point now, particularly without Anthony Davis, that they can't afford to rest guys. Like, they've got to win. So at the same time, like, I don't know, and he's still young, right? I mean, he's not like, you know, he's not in his 30s.
He's 27, I think.
Yeah.
Uh, 24.
He's young.
Yeah, so I mean, he'll be 25 here in a couple months. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everything I just said about Elfrid Payton, then just get rid of it. So, any interest in these Spurs guards?
You know, it's tough because I'm a big Derek White fan, DFS wise. I play him a lot. He's been priced down. you know, I'm very, very much for it in tournaments. Particularly, I mean, either way, White's not going to see Jimmy Butler, so it doesn't really matter. But it's just, it's overall a defensive hit for the team if and when he sits. So, but either way, I mean, yeah, basically. I like White. I'm not as much on Forbes, but I do like White.
Yeah, it's, I mean, $5,400, 31 minutes. That's, I mean, that's hard to pass up. He's going to see a lot of TJ McConnell. He's going to see a lot of JJ Redick. Not the greatest matchups. Both of them can kind of get after it a little bit defensively. But, you know, he's got so many different facets to his game that, you know, I think he definitely is in play. So, all right, let's move on to shooting guard here. Guys, we're not going to waste a lot of time. James Harden in the Mecca. His price went down.
Yeah, let's not be foolish. Just play him.
You have plenty of value.
Just play him. It's not hard.
Just lock him in. We already talked about Jrue Holiday, so we won't touch on that. Jimmy Butler will be writing on news. There is a guy that I'm intrigued with, though.
Okay.
Victor Oladipo. Now, this isn't for the faint of heart, because I will be the first to tell you that I have yet to get Victor Oladipo right this season. He didn't do bad against Charlotte. It looked a lot better. Scored 21 points. Had 7 assists. A couple steals, which he's always going to contribute in the steals department. He's a very, very good defender. Which is why I'm a little bit hesitant on Van Vliet tonight. Like, I don't know if I want Van Vliet going up against Oladipo a lot. But, you know, he's playing 31, 32 minutes. He's not playing the 35, 37 that I would love to see. But,
right.
You know, he still can contribute. Now, I'm not expecting a 60 burger out of him either. But he's below 8K. He's going to play close to around 33 minutes. This game should be close coming down the stretch. Indiana is actually favored being at home. Am I crazy here?
It's going to depend on kind of who you're playing him with, right? Like if I'm going to go to like a Siakam and, you know, I don't know, Lowry or whoever else. Yeah, I'll run some Depot with it for sure. The Raptors are not nearly as a turnover prone team as some other teams that they might play. The problem with Oladipo is those teams that are turnover prone, with a couple of exceptions, are typically not very good teams, and the rest of the team kind of beats up on them. So Depot doesn't need to do much offensively.
Right.
Teams that aren't His steals upside is kind of limited because they're not turning over the ball very much, and they kind of need the whole team to help. I mean, Depot's still, you know, the focal point of the offense there, but also, and what we didn't talk about at point guards, Darren Collison has been really lighting it up on the offensive end, and that's a situation where they're kind of riding that hot hand right now, and the team and Depot is like, you know, hey, if he's going off, let him go off. Ride the hot hand. That's what good basketball teams do.
Mm-hmm.
They ride the hot hand.
It's a lot like the I compare the Pacers a lot like the Bucks. You know, the Bucks are a very, very good quality team. They don't need Giannis to go out there and dominate every single night, which makes it very difficult to pay the price for Giannis,
right,
you know, on a night in and night out basis.
Right.
You know, it's just like they're a very, very good team. Like, yes, Victor Oladipo is the best guy on that team, but you said Collison, he's in a groove. You know, Bogdanovich can get in a groove. Miles Turner can get in a groove. Sabonis can get in a groove. And he's just like, he's a very important piece.
Yeah.
But unlike last year, where he's literally having to take over games and he's just going out and dominating, he's not having to do that this year.
Right. And we might see that again in the playoffs. But at this point, Indy's a really good team, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are. Now, here's the thing. Now, this is why, and this is something that I think a lot of the people that are listening to this are really going to benefit from, because most people in our industry have no idea what I'm talking about. Thad Young had a conversation with the team. And the conversation with the team was basically like, until we start to beat the elite teams, and this was about today's game. Until we go out there and we start showing up for the Raptors games, for the Sixers game, till we beat the Celtics, till we beat those teams, we're going to be looked at as really not a contender to win it all. If we want to start to be looked at in a way that we're going to actually be a contender, we got to beat these teams. They're coming out to beat Toronto tonight. Like, they're not taking it lightly. They're very much going after this team today. And if you're going after a team, it's always going to be led by your star, even though Thad Young was the guy doing the talking. But on the court, it's going to be Oladipo. So this game is going to be very well played, very well matched, very, very competitive. And yeah, I like the idea of an under 8K Oladipo that can easily have a monster game in a game where they're committed to winning and showing the rest of the league that they deserve the respect that they're not getting.
Yeah, and what Bear is kind of alluding to is this, is second game of the season to the Milwaukee Bucks, L. Portland Trail Blazers, L. They did beat Boston on that Saturday night in November, but that was at home. Against the Sixers a week later, L. Rockets, L. Lost to the Spurs, Lakers, Kings, L.
Yeah.
They have lost to the Cavs, but okay, so their last four losses have been to Philadelphia, Boston, Toronto twice. Everybody else they've beaten up on. Like, you know, I would say the only decent team that they've really beat out of the last, I don't know, month, I guess, has been the Brooklyn Nets. Oh, no, they did beat Philly December 14th. And they did beat the Bucks when they were on that hot streak. So they did beat the Bucks and Philly in back-to-back games. But like outside of that, they have not, they've no-showed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, that might just have perked my interest in Oladipo.
Welcome.
So, because I didn't see that interview. It's hard to catch all these interviews with a 2-year-old sometimes. All right. So
sure as hell is,
everything that we just said about Victor Oladipo, we can pretty much say the same thing about DeMar DeRozan. as far as not having to do as much struggling and, you know, all this other stuff. I want to believe in DeMar, man. But he's reverting kind of back to that Toronto DeMar DeRozan, where he's a lot more scoring dependent now with the emergence of Derek White.
Yeah. I can't disagree. It's a little bit more than just Derek White too. He's in a legit shooting slump. He's talked about it. The team's talked about it. His teammates talked about it. He's in a little bit of a shooting slump. And that's okay. It happens to everyone. But at the same time, like I don't excuse me, I don't envision a situation where he's going to continue slumping all year. It'll break. He's too good of a player. It'll break.
Yeah, it's more like a buy low situation. Okay, so since the 29th of December, so basically the whole month of January, he scored over 20 points twice.
Yeah. I mean, look at the shooting numbers. They're atrocious.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But with that, you know, like normally, okay, so like one thing you could say about Russ is he's shooting like absolutely horrible this year, although it has gone up in the last 30 days. Remind me to show you those numbers tomorrow. Okay. You know, he's got like the ancillary pieces to kind of go after. He can still get your steals. He can still get your assists and your rebounds and stuff like that and still score you about 12 to 15 points. With DeRozan, like, he's either going to get you assists or rebounds. He's not really going to get you both. Right. And he's only going to give you maybe one steal.
Right.
And you're lucky. If you get a block from DeRozan, you might as well just go to Vegas. So,
I mean, you'll get a couple steals here and there, right? But
yeah, exactly. So if you get any of those boosts, so like on DK, it's really hard to play him because you're probably not going to get a double-double bonus. He doesn't take a lot of three-point shots, so you're not going to get the bonuses there. On FanDuel, he's hard to play because if he doesn't score 20, 25 points and get you 8 assists and a couple rebounds, you know, he's not going to give you a lot of steals and blocks to give you the three-point bonuses that you want. It's hard to play him, and that's why I would rather pay the $100 for Oladipo, even though DeRozan can, like, 100% he can outscore him. I'm not saying that at all.
Sure.
But, like, I feel like I have a better path to upside with Oladipo on both sides than I do with DeMar DeRozan.
I'm in the same boat, so.
Okay. Zach LaVine, any interest?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to understand what the hell is going on there. And I don't know if it's a matter of – well, actually, I do know what's going on there. So, as I've been saying, I read a lot of, you know, what happens kind of within the teams and some discussions and that kind of thing.
If you're thinking this hard, the answer should be no.
It's going to be no, but I want to make sure why. Because here's the thing. Hoiberg has asked Dunn to be the facilitator, to be the aggressor, to be the one making all the plays. Now, what that does is it takes the usage away from Zach. Because where Zach is really good, both for himself and from a DFS perspective, is when he's the one initiating the offense, when he's the one making the plays. The ball has been in Dunn's hands because that's how the Bulls want it to be done. No pun intended there. So that takes me off of LaVine. Now, if they're basically relegating LaVine into a off-the-ball catch-and-shoot or, you know, drive to the rim when you get the ball kind of guy, I'm not paying that for Zach. I'm not. But I do like that for Dunn. Yeah, that's it. I'm going to pass.
Yeah, I want the ball in his hand. I want him to be able to make plays. And right now, that the way that they're, and it's not Fred Hoiberg, by the way.
Yes, I know. Yes, I know he's gone. He's gone. But,
yeah, you know. But you know, they're getting LaVine to work off the ball a lot more, and you know, be that playmaker off the ball. And I don't know why. Like, I don't really think that Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine fit in the backcourt together that well. They're both dynamic playmakers.
Yeah. But
their games are too similar, except for Chris Dunn can shoot better.
Yeah, I guess LaVine's just streakier. So, yeah, but over long term, yeah.
Yeah. Any interest in Eric Gordon against the Knicks?
It's interesting. I'll tell you that much. It's definitely interesting. I do like the price there. I do like that he's not going to be limited any more minutes wise. But at the same time, I mean, he's so dependent on that three ball falling, man. Like, if that three ball falls, he'll take you to the promised land. Yep. If it's not falling, he's going to dud so bad because he doesn't really do much else outside of shooting. So at this stage of his career, he still does some penetration, but not much. You know, most guys when they're 3-point shooters, when their three ball isn't falling, they're going to the paint, trying to get to the line, trying to get the easy layup, get their confidence up and going. He doesn't really do much of that anymore, and D'Antoni doesn't want him to. He misses, keep shooting. That's what he wants him to do. That's the D'Antoni way. So he's very much boom or bust. And look, I'm going to be playing so much James Harden, I'm not sure that I can play the both of them together. Because if Gordon goes off, it will take away from Harden. Even though Harden will get some of those assists, but we need more than assists from James to pay off his 13K. So, I mean, if you're not playing Harden, you want to maybe get some exposure there, you could probably go Gordon.
Yeah, it's I do like Eric Gordon. I like him more on DraftKings where I can get those three-point bonuses and stuff like that. He's more expensive on DK. He's 5,700, but it's, you know, one of those situations where you're sitting here going, Eric Gordon at 53 or Dwayne Wade at 49, Marcus Smart for the same price or Jaylen Brown. I mean, at least with guys like, you know, Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, they can do a little bit more in the other categories to kind of, right, you know, that if Eric Gordon's shot isn't falling, that, you know, they could outscore him. I don't mind him. He's just not something that I'm loving. So, something I just saw. Got to be kidding me with this that I didn't realize it earlier.
What's that?
Deion Waiters, I've got him projected for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
He's played 21 and 22 in the last two games, or 21 and 25 the last two games. He's going up against the Clippers, and he's 4,700 on FanDuel.
So here's the thing I want to talk about real quick about Miami. I follow Ira Weinstein, I think.
Yes.
Who's really open about things that he, you know, talked to the coaches about. The Heat are very close to making lineup changes, starting lineup changes. And I believe he feels that Deion Waiters might be going into the starting unit. Is it going to happen? No, not for sure. I don't know, but it's being talked about. So, I mean, it's something we need to look into. I don't have a problem playing Waiters, particularly against the Clippers. I mean, you know, teams have been crushing them all year, and they're on a back-to-back, and they're on a Ma game, and all that stuff. So I think Waiters is in a really, really nice spot here.
Yeah, I have more exposure to him on DK or his 4,300. So, all right, let's move on to small forwards here. For those of you that are in chat, just heard me type that my son is awake from his nap after 45 minutes. So we're going to have an appearance soon. Nikola Mirotic is actually my top guy today at the small forward position. I'm not playing Tobias Harris.
Okay.
I'm not touching the Clippers outside of one guy that I'll talk about here at the next position. But
we know who that is.
Yep. But he's my top guy there. He's back in the starting lineup, going to play 30-plus minutes. He's going to be needed to score. I don't mind pairing him with like a Jrue Holiday, but I definitely don't think I'm going to be pairing him with Jahlil Okafor or Julius Randle.
So I think you can pair him with Julius, and only because they just do such different, like they're going to need Julius to do the dirty work, to do the rebounding, to get down low, to post up, transition, etc. Mirotić starts hitting that three ball. Randle starts doing his thing. I could see both putting up 55. Now, obviously, you still have Jrue Holiday, and you still have, like you said, Jahlil Okafor. But for me, it's like pairing up a big with a shooter. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Any interest in, like, we've talked about these Heat guys and that you think that there's going to be, like, a lineup change coming. Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow, any interest there at all?
Not really. I mean, I've been a big fan of Winslow's, and I even played him recently when he got up to 7K. Now he's at 6,400, but I'm going to have to stay away from this game, man. I mean, I don't like the outlook for the Clippers, frankly, here. And even if they do stay in, it's going to be a really ugly low-scoring game the way the Heat like it. I don't mind playing some Heat players that are, in the 4K range, which we'll talk about here shortly, but that's about it. So, I don't know. Not really.
Okay. Rudy Gay, is he going to see over 22 minutes?
Yeah, particularly without Bertans. He definitely gets a bump. We have him here at, 27 right now? 5,500? Versus Philly, I mean, I don't hate it.
And then I think I know where I'm going to attack Denver tonight. And it's with Joe Ingles. He's 5,500. He's going to play 30-plus minutes. He's not going to be 100% locked down by Gary Harris. I think when Gary Harris is on the court and Donovan Mitchell's on the court, there's where your lockdown is going to end up coming. I think this is probably where I'm going to have my most exposure from any one player from this last game. Like, I'll have others kind of sprinkled in, but I think on like a consistent basis, I think it's Joe Ingles, at least on FanDuel.
It's going to be hard, man. I don't think this game has much ownership at all. I can make a case for like a Rudy Gobert. I can make a case for like a Derek Favors, maybe. But Ingles is really cheap.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm kind of drawn.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. Like Gary Harris and what's the dude's name? Will Barton. They're both being limited to 20 minutes. So be careful.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm not touching either one of them. Not tonight. JJ Redick is now somehow a small forward, according to FanDuel. I mean, if you're gonna make position, they made every other position swap that they made was right on the money, except for this one. They should have moved Jimmy Butler to the three.
So stupid.
I can't tell. I just can't do it. Like,
no. Not at this position. I need someone who's more well-rounded than, listen, JJ's just a shooter every night. Like, I rarely worry about him going 1-for-10. Like,
oh yeah,
doesn't happen for that guy. But at the same time, like, that's all he does. I mean, literally the only thing he does. And that's, it's going to be tough for me to do out of that. Like, I was talking to Luz about this today, actually, a guy like Bembry. Like, he's really steals and blocks dependent, but if you play him versus turnover prone teams, you can do that. It's common sense there, right? But a guy like Redick, I mean, it's going to be a little bit different if we know that Butler's out, if we, you know, maybe Simmons, or we'll have to see, because then there'll be more shots for him. Yeah, okay. But, like, do we really see Redick putting up a 50? I don't think so.
No, I couldn't. I like JJ Redick helped me win a multiple tournaments, and he helped me win my first Q. He didn't even put up a 50 that night. I think it was like a 38. But yeah, I can't see the last time that JJ put up a 50.
I don't remember what he has last time. So
yeah. Derrick Jones Jr. has played 18 and 28 minutes the last two games. I've got him at 26. Going against the Clippers. I really, really kind of like this play. It's risky.
It's risky.
Because you can turn around and play. Because, like, this is where his minutes trends. 28, 17, 18, 9, 18, 28.
Yeah, but we also have to look at the opponents of those teams. Like a team like the Clippers, for example, who particularly now, but in general, even without Gallo sitting, they play small. So I see something where it's like, you know, Winslow, Jay Rich, Jones Jr.
And James Johnson or Bam.
James Johnson Adebayo kind of thing. Just to kind of, yeah, just imagine with the size. So this is a perfect kind of game for him. So, I mean, I don't see any reason why he's not going to see his 25 minutes.
Awesome. I got some interest in Kevin Knox, Jay Crowder. These guys are going to be guys I'm going to sprinkle in. Chandler Hutchinson, I think, is an interesting drop score candidate tonight. He's 4,100. He's going to play around 30 minutes. Other than that, it's just a lot of, you know, meh type of situations that I don't really have a lot of love for, but I don't hate either. Like, I could see Joe Harris putting up a 35 tonight against Orlando.
Yeah.
For 5,300. I could see Jonathan Isaac putting up a 35 tonight against Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Damari Carroll for 4,500. He can put up a 35. I mean, okay.
So there's been a term that's being used a lot by our members, and it's called the Bear Special. And the Bear Special has been happening almost every night that I coach. And that is the one guy that I'm on that is only for VIPs that, like, nobody owns. He's like 2% and he goes off. I don't think that's Derrick Jones Jr. today, by the way, because I think he'll be a little more owned than we expect him to, particularly because he's being projected for more minutes. And he's so cheap. You mentioned Jonathan Isaac. Jonathan Isaac, I didn't know a lot about him till today. So I happened to be kind of, you know, scrolling through my usual NBA, you know, timeline feed. And okay, I stumbled across an article. And the article said that Jonathan Isaac is from New York. All of his friends and family come to see him when he plays versus New York teams. His father taught him a lot of, you know, like the Bible Psalms and, you know, the good word, or I don't know what the term is there, but basically he's a preacher, basically. And he's super spiritual. And
very.
Yeah. And he has about 15 friends and family members come into the game. The entire team knows that his dad's going to be there, and he only really gets to see his dad, who he's really close with growing up, when they go to New York. Play Jonathan Isaac.
Yep.
Like, his team knows he's there, his family is there, and his dad is there, and how much it means to him, and they're pulling for him to have a big game. Yep. Play Jonathan Isaac. I don't care that he'd been priced up to 5K. Just play him.
Yeah, I love it. All right, let's move on to power forwards here. Blake Griffin at the top. Julius Randle, nice little ping pong if you can afford it.
Yeah.
LMA, it's going to depend for me on LaMarcus, who all plays for the
Sixers. Yeah, that's going to be the big factor there. I mean, Aldridge is going to have his hands full. That's for sure.
Montrezl Harrell, I'm out. John Collins, we talked. He was a topic of conversation in our private chat this morning.
Yeah, I play him a lot. I mean, it's hard not to. He's probably going to be going up against Lauri Markkanen, who's not really known to be that down low power forward. It's much more of a stretch perimeter ball handle type of power forward. Whereas, you know, Collins is much more of a traditional big. I really like this kid. I think he's going to be a really good power forward in this league for a long time. In terms of tonight, matchup couldn't get any nicer. I'm going to have a handful of lineups that's going to be stacking this game. You know, where I'll be running, you know, Collins and Dunn and Markkanen, and, you know, maybe even some Deadman or maybe some Robin Lopez, you know, a little bit of Hutchinson that you mentioned, Bobby Portis. Like, I like a lot of these plays in this game because neither team is very good at defense right now. You know, Dunn is a good individual defender, but as a team, as a whole, they're just not. So Collins is certainly going to make the top of my list in terms of players I want to use for stacking this particular game.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Jaren Jackson Jr., 6,100 versus Charlotte. If Mark Gasol is out, then he becomes probably a core play for me.
Yeah.
Look, FanDuel got sneaky. Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka, they're both the same price.
Yeah, they're making you choose.
That's what it is. It's a coin flip, guys. I'm more, after last night, I'm more apt to probably go to Pascal Siakam tonight. Mm. But I think they're both in play. Jason Tatum, obviously, with everybody out, you know, he's in play again as well. Kenneth Fareed wasn't min price for long. He got jumped up to 5K on FanDuel. He's in New York. He's probably going to get Enes Kanter defense. It's not a bad matchup at all. But man, 5K is, you at least have to think about it.
Talking about Fareed?
Yes.
I mean, if you're not thinking about it, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Like, you can't just go based on what you know all year, like, and say, oh, okay, he's priced up. He took that big price jump. I'm not playing him. So you have to think about it, especially since he's cheaper than guys like Noah Vonleh, Thad Young, Bam Adebayo, Bobby Portis, Derek Favors, Marcus Morris, Paul Millsap, PJ Tucker. Like, guys, those are all, he's cheaper than all of those guys, and he's probably in the best spot out of all of those guys.
Let me add one more thing, if I could. There's actually two things. The bad part of it is he's not a 30-minute a game player. Not going
to
be.
Nope. 25 to 26 minutes.
That's the bad part.
24 to 26, sorry.
Good part about it, he's going back to New York where he really, really was not happy. Now, I get it. He played with the Nets. This is the Knicks. I understand all that. But he's going back to New York where he was really unhappy. Wants to show New York, this is what you guys didn't have. Again, I know it's not the Nets. I know they're playing the Knicks, but it's still New York. And it's definitely going to have the same vibe there. I'm playing as much free as I can. As you know, Keith, I started playing a lot more on Yahoo and a lot more on DK. Still play FanDuel.
He's 4,400 on DK, by the way.
He's 4,400 on, and he's pretty much next to nothing on Yahoo. So let me double check if I may. But yeah, I mean, so the Yahoo pricing is just way different. Way different.
He's $10 on Yahoo.
He's minimum priced. It's like $3,500 on FanDuel. Like, if you don't play a minimum price for Reed versus the Knicks, just don't play DFS.
Yep. You had some interest in Daniel Theis.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more hesitant. I see it as a drop on FanDuel. Personally, I would rather play Jonathan Motley. I think that Theis has more upside, but I also think there's less of a chance that Jonathan Motley just doesn't do anything at all. Whereas in Theis, even without Al Horford, Semi Ojeleye could actually get some minutes down there at the four. They still have Marcus Morris. Aaron Baines is still going to play 20 minutes. And trying to predict a Brad Stevens rotation is never fun, especially on these nights where he can get creative. I see every part about it. But
what are you not liking?
I don't like the abilities for like Brad Stevens to mess with it. I like Theis better when there's more of a clear-cut path in the front court.
Yeah, it's definitely – so let me kind of make clear what my thoughts on Theis are here. If you're playing on FanDuel where you're allowed to drop a score, that's your play.
Yes.
If you're playing on DK, if you're playing on Yahoo where you need him to produce, he's not a play. Just want to make that very clear.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan Motley's $100 more on DK, so. And we know that he's going to play around 18 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, let's talk about centers here. Nikola Jokic, tough matchup. I'll have more on this actually later in my notes. I actually don't mind Jokic. He's not my favorite.
I don't know that I can pay that price, to be honest.
Yeah, that's the tough part. Not with Joel Embiid, $100 more.
Right, Nikola Vucevic versus Brooklyn, $800 less. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to like at this position. So, wow, we have Whiteside at 22 minutes. Holy crap. But, I mean, look. I think you can probably get a Jokic at like a 3% tonight. I really do.
Woo!
Yeah, it's enticing. It's intriguing. It's yummy.
Last three seasons, he's only had one game over 50.
Yeah, that's the downside. But at the same time, last three seasons, he hasn't been playing like he has this year. So, I mean, he's added a lot to his game. Facilitating, shooting a lot more, scoring a lot more, just doing a lot more. So what I'm getting at here is I wouldn't take what happened over the last three years as a reason not to play him this year here. I'm just saying I don't like the price, but I do really, really like the fact that I can get a Jokic at like a 1-3%. That's like a really big deal. And then the flip side of that is playing Gobert. Hi, Cammy.
Say hi. Say hi.
Hi. So that's what I was saying. I don't like the price, but the fact that he's at 1%, 3%, whatever it is really intriguing.
Yeah, that's and that was the whole purpose behind it. It's the same reason I have the purpose and the interest in guys like Rudy Gobert, Andre Drummond coming off of the concussion. You know, it, stuff like that. But if I can get a guy that's got 50-point upside for like less than 5%, I'm always going to have interest there. So, Marc Gasol, I think we've kind of, he's in a good matchup, but I think we kind of determined that not something that we really want to touch.
No.
Just not, it's hard. We talked about it with the trade. It's really difficult. Hassan Whiteside, I'm out. I've had a lot of, I've tried with Whiteside, so.
I can't really do that.
Yeah.
I can't really do. Like, I think Whiteside's on his way to going back to like 12 minutes, man. I mean, I don't know. They just don't like him there, and I don't blame him. He's a baby. I don't blame him, but I'm not sure I can do it.
I don't know if I can either. Like Jahlil Okafor, I think is going to be one of your chalk guys tonight. Going to play close to 30 minutes and $5,500. Yeah. Enes
Okafor?
Kanter. Yeah. Okafor.
Are we, so can we just talk about Okafor for a minute?
Please do.
I mean, like, so he just put up his first double-double since like 2017. So I feel like a couple things. First of all, I feel like going back to him, let me see who were that against. Memphis. Was that Memphis with Gasol? Yes, with Gasol.
Yes.
I just think that this matchup is a little bit different. Jaren Jackson Jr. was he's young. He's a rookie. He made a ton of mistakes. I watched that game because I had Conley in that game. But I mean, I just it's very similar here in terms of, especially if we get Drummond pronounced in, which I think he's going to play. Then you've got a very similar, you know, two bigs with you know, Blake and Drummond, similar to Memphis with you know, Jaren Jackson and Gasol. I think he can do well. I really do. But these guys are a little bit like between Julius and Okafor, who's going to be on Blake Griffin?
Probably Julius.
Yeah. That's what I'm leaning to. That leaves Okafor on Drummond. And that's not, I mean, Okafor lost a lot of weight. Like, he looks really slim now, which is good for his longevity, but not good for the center position. Like, he needs to bulk up. He hasn't done that yet. But muscle-wise, he was bulky,
right. Not
muscle-wise. But I think he struggles here. I think he's going to get eaten alive by Drummond.
And I don't know. I'm not doubting that at all. I just don't know. Like, you're talking about a guy that's $5,500 that, because it's not like Drummond's good at defense either. Maybe the rebounding upside isn't as high because of that. But like, you're talking about a guy that's going to play close to 50 minutes and is $5,500 against a guy that isn't that great at defense. I think a lot of people are going to actually go right into it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that Drummond has if Drummond plays, I think he has an absolute field day.
I mean, unless they go and they bring in Diallo, because Okafor just can't hang.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a possibility.
So, any interest in Aaron Baines, 3,700?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we're going to see. I mean, he's not a big minutes guy. Even when he was starting, I think like the most I've seen him play was like 25.
Yeah, right? I've got him at 22 right now.
So, I mean, he's super cheap on all sites. He might actually start today. You know, he's going to go up against Zizic. I don't hate it.
I don't either.
We got to talk about one more starting center that's super cheap. Sideshow Bob.
I was kind of hoping we could save that, but okay.
I'm
no, Cameron, you can't take my headphones off, Bubby. I need to. Okay, so he's 3,800 on FanDuel. He is at DraftKings right now. 3,800 on DraftKings. I think on DK, I'm out.
Okay. What is he on DK?
38. He's the same price on both sites. But the fact that you can go down to like 3,000, like he's farther away from min price than on DK than he is on FanDuel. Like, okay, so we've talked a lot about how Atlanta just kind of gives up points everywhere. Well, after the last, over the last like 45 days or so, they're actually not bad against bigs. And a lot of that has to do with John Collins and Dwayne Dedmon and Alex mm-hmm. Len playing very, very, very well.
For sure.
Unless you're trying to sell me on this as like a showcase game type of situation, because they're about ready to buy him out and he's showcasing that he's still got it for other teams. I don't think I'm going to play, like, I think I'd much rather play Alex Len on FanDuel than I would.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Alex Len.
Alex, yeah. You just got the KD seal of approval. But, like, I think if, especially if he's going to be chalk, like, I don't think he's going to be.
I don't think he's going to be. But
starting point guards, starting centers that are close to min price, they draw a lot of interest.
Right.
Even if we've been down this road before, they draw a lot of interest. I mean, come on, look at Dragan Bender. Now, he's not a center, but he was a guy being thrust into a starting role. Like, especially with the James Harden, people are star-craved for value. So, I think I'm out, man.
I'm surprised you think it's going to be that chalky.
We'll have to see. I'm not sold on Robin Lopez. So
that's different.
That's my thing.
Well, that's different. But you're getting, so out of all of these centers that are close to, so would you play Baines or Robin Lopez?
Oh, Aaron Baines, 100%.
Okay. Would you play Baines, excuse me, Robin Lopez or Mo Bamba?
Ooh. What's Bamba's price?
3,600.
Bamba.
Wow.
Because, and here's the reason why, is everybody's all over like Vooch, Vooch, Vooch. Well, I don't think there's a lot of profit potential with Vooch at his price. He put up a 48.4 against Brooklyn last week, which is fantastic. But come on, computer. But Bamba came in and played 15 minutes his first game back and put up a 16. I mean, are you telling me that Mo Bamba doesn't have the ability to outscore Robin Lopez for cheaper?
I'm not saying he doesn't. Against Brooklyn? I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying I don't see it.
So, I mean, obviously the guy there in that price range is going to be Aaron Baines. Like, give me Baines before any of them. But if you're telling me Robin Lopez or Aaron Baines, or sorry, Robin Lopez or Mo Bamba, like, I'll take the better matchup, I think.
Yeah.
So. Alrighty, guys. That's going to do it for us today. I want to apologize, everybody, for us going a little bit longer because I had a kid in my lap for the last 30 minutes of it. But, Bear, you've got notes today, right?
I do.
I've got notes today. Keg's got notes today. Donuts has notes today. So we've got you covered on this nice little 10-game slate. Nice 10-game slate. Guys, don't forget, make sure you are paying attention to the news. Coaches' channels and the breaking news for everything. And you only get that for being a VIP member. Bear, any last words?
Any last words? Tomorrow we get Rondo night. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be talking about that tomorrow.
I can't wait.
So, all right, guys. For myself, for the DFS Army, for Bear, we go.